If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm believing God to minister to us today and help us to be in His presence. Amen. I think what we need to do is really understand how to see Jesus in the day in which we live. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to talk to you this morning out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll begin with the 15th verse. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. And we ask, God, you would touch this word with your anointing. Use me, God, as an oracle of your grace. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, say, hey, it's good to see you this morning. Amen. I did that because we've had some people come in since we shook hands a while ago. I don't want nobody to leave without getting a hand shook. Glory. Amen. We do appreciate our visitors being with us today, and we hope that you enjoy it enough to come back and try us again. Amen. And I told one man that I know two of his brothers, and I won't hold it against him. Actually, Arlen's uncle's here, and Arlen's dad and Brother Louis Fincher, his brothers, are two of my best friends in the world, and so I pick at them when I get a shot. Amen. I've been fishing with Louis, and that was an experience because we ended up tearing up his boat and losing a rod and reel. It was worth a bunch of money, and that became a story that just took life after a while. Glory. Amen. And we don't even want to talk about the time his wife saved money buying a microwave and ended up having house surgery because he picked it up. Glory. I remember seeing her later. I said, Sister Fincher, how much money did you make off that microwave now? Glory. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on a subject I simply entitled Living Above Sea Level. Amen. Now, those of you know that sea level is what we measure, how high we are above the water. You know, if you go out to Colorado, you'll find out that if you're in parts of northwest Colorado, you can actually be standing on the ground and be over a mile higher than the sea. Amen. I remember I was in Craig. It was 6,300 feet above sea level. I got up preaching that morning, and I couldn't hardly get my breath because the air was so thin, and they kept telling me to drink water. I said, I don't need water. I need air. Give me an oxygen mask, and I'll feel good. Glory. Amen. But you know, if you lived in Holland, there are parts of Holland that's actually below sea level. And you know, if the water was to rush in, you'd be in a mess. Amen. And you get into a negative gravitational pull. If you go to Israel and get down around Tiberias, you're about 1,500 feet below sea level, and you actually will swell up when you get down in that area. People that wear rings, they'll tell you if you buy a ring in Tiberias, always buy it smaller than what you have to buy it there, because when you get out from there, you'll just naturally shrink back up a little bit. And I told him, I said, I don't want to live here. Glory. I'm big enough as it is. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, I want to talk to you not about living above sea level, but living above the level of what you can see. Amen. You used to have a saying, boy, if you could just see what was going on around you. I've had people say, oh, God, open up my spiritual eyes. You don't want that to happen. If you did, you'd go so crazy, Bryce's couldn't help you. Amen. Come on, church, because around us every day there's spiritual warfare going on. There's the sides of evil and the sides of good that are fighting against us and around us. And I don't want to see it. But you know, church, some of you sitting there saying, now, preacher, there ain't nothing going on in this room we can't see. There certainly is. Right now in this room, there's a race taking place. There's probably some guy riding a cowboy chasing some Indians and shooting at them. They're playing a basketball game right here. Oh, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Because if we had the ability to get a TV in here and hook it up to something, bring it in, those waves are in the air. It's just a matter of getting on the right frequency and picking them up. Hello? Now, some of y'all ain't going to know what I'm talking about, but I remember when I was a kid, we had an antenna outside. You didn't have cable TV. You had an antenna. I even remember when they switched to the UHF antenna because VHS wouldn't come through the UHF antennas. And you only had 13 channels you could possibly pick up. And of course, where I lived, it was only four you could get. Amen. And we had a, you know, one of those pair of pliers stuck on the antenna outside, and you'd turn to the TV to a certain channel, and you'd go outside, and they'd say, "Now turn it," and you'd start easing that thing around. He'd say, "Okay, whoa, that's it." And you'd get it lined up where that antenna would be just right to pick up that TV station. Amen. And then they invented this marvelous thing called a TV antenna turner, where you could just turn the dial and it would and move that antenna. And we finally got one of them things. And then they come out with a UHF antenna that actually looked like a grill with a bow tie on it, so we could get channel 33 and channel 42 and channel 21, channel 17. And you know, we got to thinking, well, hey, this is awesome. We actually got 8 TV channels in, and we're about to die. Some of y'all got 300 and you are dead. Hello. The point is, there are things going on around us you can't see. Well, the same thing happens in the spiritual realm. Some of y'all need to tune into the right channel, because all you see is financial ruin. All you see is problems. All you see is headaches. All you see is body pains and aches. And some of y'all walk around, "Oh, I'm a dying." Hey, I don't care. If you let God get a hold of you, maybe you won't be dying. Come on, church. Amen. I mean, some of y'all, the minute you get an ache, you've done diagnosed it. I mean, the worst thing can happen to some of y'all is the internet, because you get on the internet and suddenly you know more than the doctor does. You can diagnose what you got, and it may not have a thing to do with what you got, but it's on the internet, and I found it, and it says I'm going to die. Amen. I'll be honest with you, church. Ignorance is bliss. I may be dying right now, but if I am, I don't want to know about it. All I want to know is I'm living. And let me tell you something. I got a God that knows what's going on in my life, and if he wants me to die, I'm going to die. But if he doesn't want me to die, I'm not going anywhere. Could you say amen to that, church? You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" I think it's time some of us get to the place we see Jesus in this life, not just in the life to come. That we see the movement of God in our lives and understand that God is able to do great things. That we get like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we look at a fire, but we see a victory. When we look like Daniel and we see the lions, but we understand it's an opportunity. When we see Joshua standing there outnumbered, and he tells his army, said, "I got to break it down, because I got a God that's going to help me, and we're going to do what he said, and we just going to march around the city, because I can see it like he does. And when we make that last trip, them walls are coming down, and victory's going to be ours." I can see it as David, when he sees a giant and realizes, oh, this is an opportunity to let the world know there is a God in Israel. And some of you need to see the things in your life as an opportunity for your God to lift you up above the shadows of this life and give you joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Could you say amen? See, it is invisible world is real. Dr. A.W. Tozer used to remind us that the invisible world describes the Bible is the only real world. Amen. Listen to what Paul said. He said, "Those things that you see are temporal, but the things you don't see are going to be everlasting." Hallelujah. Listen, church, I don't see heaven every morning I get up. And I'll be honest with you, I've had people tell me they died and they saw lights and everything. Listen, I've been clinically dead twice in my life. I ain't seen a stinking thing. I woke up, found out I'd been dead. Amen. I don't know if them other people saw something, but I didn't see nothing. But that doesn't hinder the fact that I know that I know that I know that one day there's going to be a city who's going to have streets made with pure gold, that's going to have a mansion there with my name on it, because I am born through the blood of Jesus Christ, and God has promised me in his word. Amen. You know, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not too, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place just for you. And if I go prepare you a place, I'm going to come get you sooner or later, and you're going to make that place, honey. I'm not worried about tomorrow. Amen. I'm kind of like Billy Graham. Billy Graham was speaking not long ago, one of his last engagements in public. And those of you who don't know it, he's suffering from Alzheimer's or something, or dementia. But he said, "I don't know what I did yesterday, and I'm not sure what I'll do tomorrow. All I know is I bought this suit I got on to be buried in, because I know where I'm going." Amen. I want to tell you something, honey. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, but I know where I'm going, because I can see things that I don't see in this world. Could you say amen? Glory. Listen, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger in a country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of his same promise. For he looked for a city whose foundations, the builder, the maker thereof was God. You say, what are you talking about? Abraham could see above sea level. I mean, he's sitting in the most fertile land in the world. He is a heathen, doesn't believe in God. But a voice speaks out to him, and he listens to that voice, and he leaves that land, changes his name from Abram to Abraham. Now all of a sudden he leaves. Can you imagine how dumb that was? I mean, Abram, where you going? I don't know. What are you gonna do to get there? Ain't got a clue. Well, why are you going? I've been hearing voices. Hello? He left the most fertile land in the world to move to a desert because he heard a voice. But if you understand, Abram at 12, when he became a man and went through what they call the bar mitzvah, he was sent to his oldest living relative, who was a man named Noah. Amen. And I can see him talking to great, 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 great grandpa. And grandpa telling him, you know, I was sitting there and a voice spoke to me one day, son. Told me to build a boat. Didn't make no sense, but I built the boat. And because of that, I saved my whole family from a flood. And that voice is going to speak to you one day, buddy. And you need to learn to listen to him. And I can see that boy under hearing that voice and saying, wait a minute. I can see what God's going to do through my own eyes, but through him I can see a family that's going to outnumber the sands of the sea. I can see a life that's going to be dedicated to him. And because of that, he was able to follow God, because he was able to do what? He was able to look for a city he couldn't see, believing he was going to get there. Can I tell you, that's where I'm at right now. I didn't leave Buell to come to Alabaster to just to pastor a church. I left there a long time ago because I've been looking ever since 1974 for a city whose foundation's a builder and the maker thereof is God. That's everything I do, is because I'm looking for a place my God has prepared for me, and one day I'm going to get there. Hallelujah. Amen. Some think faster than others. Hello? Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness by faith. Hebrews 11, 13, 15. For these all died in faith, having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they say such things, declare plainly that they were there to seek a country. In the 24th verse, this is what it said about Moses. For by faith Moses, when he came to the years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. For by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You say, what are you talking about? Moses was a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had a chance to become Pharaoh himself. He was registered to become the man to leave that country, but he threw it all away because he said, there's a God out there I want to serve. I may not see him, but I know he exists. And because of that, I'll let go of everything here, because everything here is worth nothing compared to the God I'm going to find over there. Can I tell you, honey, some of us need to let go of the things in this world and realize it is not by my might nor by my power, but it is by him that I'm made a conqueror. It is not through what I have in this world, but what I have in the world to come that's going to make me an overcomer. Could you say amen? The things of this world seem so real because we look for them in certain places, but it must be the spiritual things that we hang on to. How can we look at things that are invisible? By faith, we read the Word of God, and we've never seen Christ or heaven, yet we know they're real because the Word of God tells us they're real. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made by things which do appear. What did he say? He said, well, first of all, if I'm going to have faith, I've got to believe in things I can't see. Hello? I've got to believe somewhere out there there's a God working who knows more about what's going on in my life than me or anybody else does, who is watching out for me so that I don't get caught off guard. Hello? One of the great things about traveling and moving around this country and around the world, was that no matter where I went, I found out there was a God there. I remember going to Romania in 2005. On a Sunday morning, I got up to go to a church to preach. And when I got out to get ready to get in the van, Brother Buya, who was from Detroit, was our Romanian brother, was in charge of the trip. I started climbing up in the van he told me to get into that morning when we first come out of the hotel, and he grabs my coattail and pulls me back out. Now, he's a little bitty fella, so it took a lot for him to pull me out of that van. And I probably, if it hadn't been, I just didn't want to tear my jacket, I could have got away from him because I was wanting to get in that van and go preach. He said, "You don't go in that van, you're going out in Nova Yonder." Well, he'd already told me that Nova Yonder was fixing to go 60 clicks from there, about 30 miles. And I said, "That guy don't speak English." He said, "I know, but that's where you go." I said, "But you told me go here." He said, "I changed my mind. God speak to me. Go." Now, church, you got to meet this guy. He's a little bitty fella. I started looking at him and say, "Boo, glory." I just could not fathom riding down the road with a dude that can't speak English. But I get in the car with him. Ain't nobody going but me and this guy. We hit the road, he turns on his Romanian music, and I'm sitting there and I'm hearing the beat. I know y'all say you can't worship unless you know the words. Some of y'all need to quit worrying about the words, just worship the God. Come on, church. I mean, I don't want a bunch of junk, but at the same time, some of y'all, if it ain't the words you like, you're not going to worship. But I got news for you. I couldn't understand a single thing they were saying, but I figured out some of the stuff, and I was sitting there having church. And we going down the road, and I found out he could say one English word, hallelujah. So for 30 miles, every once in a while, he'd look at me, point the radio, go, hallelujah. And I go, hallelujah. And he'd grin. And we got to church. I jumped out of the car and I went walking in, and there's 2,700 people at church that morning. And one of them speaks English, but one dude. It's like a needle in a haystack. I'm walking around shaking people's hand, going, Pacha, Domino Luis, Jesus Christos. And they're starting to tell me, I go, oh, I don't understand you. And finally, one of them said, "Ah!" And he grabs my hand and runs me through a crowd to this guy. And he tells him something. The guy spins around. He said, "You're Brother Stroop." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Good. I'm your interpreter." I said, "Hallelujah." Then I found out he was the first preacher. Oh, Romania is the dream country for me. They have two preachers every service. I see some of y'all right now. I said, "Well, you ain't starting that over here, buddy." Glory. And Brother Tom George that spoke here was with me one night when they chewed me out because I was a second preacher and I didn't preach for 30 minutes. I got through, gave an altar call, and church members come to me want to know why I quit preaching. I said, "Well, in America." One of them said, "You're not in America." I said, "In America, they'll leave after 30 minutes. He said, "You're not in America." We'd had seven saved. I thought I'd done a good job. And I found out if I'd preached longer, I might have had some more saved. Glory. Hello? Some of y'all look like that preacher's getting off on the wrong leg right now. I ought to get some amens on that. Glory. But he preached the first service. Now, I understand ignorance is bliss. I ain't got to worry about preaching his sermon because I don't know a thing he said. Ain't nobody to tell me what he's doing. Ain't nobody to interpret to me. I'm just sitting there listening. And you want to be lonely? You be there with everybody speaking another language. Ain't got nobody you know. And they're carrying on and they're shouting and praising God. And you're just sitting there. And when they shout, you shout just so they won't think you're bad. Glory. Finally, they sing a couple of songs, turn it over to me. And I walk up and he said, "Brother, just have church." I took my text, and he was a little slow giving his text out, and I looked at him sort of funny. He said, "We are a lot alike," because I found out he preached from the same text. He told somebody later, he said, "It was like somebody put our outlines together. I did one thing, he did the other, and we wore them out." Glory. I started preaching. We had church. Had an altar service. God blessed us real good in the altar service, and I'm standing out front trying to leave, and all of a sudden I feel a hand grab my shoulder. I spun around, and there's a little lady standing there. She's about 5 foot tall, weighed about 250. Glory. She still got her apron on and got flour on her from where she was cooking that morning. One of the last places I preached, a guy walked up to me after church, and he handed me something. He said, "I want you to take this with you, and I want you to give it to who God wants to have it." I'm going halfway around the world with a tithe envelope with money in it, and all that's wrote on it is, "Grandma." this little lady spins me around. She put her finger in my face and she started. All I got out of it was pacha, peace. First thing she said was peace. And she said, blah, 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 blah. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't understand. She said, da. She takes off through the crowd, grabs that poor guy, was my interpreter, by the ear. Come dragging him back through the crowd. He was running to keep from falling and tearing his ear off. She gets there, she starts in on him, and he stopped her. He said, she has a word for you. I said, I figured that out. Glory. The first thing he said, I want to introduce you. This is Grandma so-and-so. I said, I got something for Grandma. Glory. Because the whole time I was over there, she's the only one introduced to me as Grandma. So I figured Grandma's the one supposed to get this offering I got. So I handed it to her. Then she said something that blew my mind. For those of you that don't believe there is a God, I'm halfway around the world from Buell, Alabama, where my home was. And this little old lady looks at me and she said, the one beside you will be okay. There'll be tragedy in your life this year, but the one beside you will be okay. My wife was going through breast cancer surgery and reconstructive surgery. I came home from Romania for the last surgery, and then I heard the doctor say, you're cancer free. You go. You don't have to come back for 6 months. Amen. Come on, church. Smile at me. Some of y'all look at me and say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. That lady knew what was going on. December, my mom passed away. Now, my mom lived in my house, so that was a tragedy to our family. Amen. March of that year, my wife had to have surgery again. She was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. You know, when they did the surgery, the doctor came out and he said, you know, Mr. Stroop, he said, what I saw on the scans is not what I removed from your wife. I think maybe God got a hold of this before we got in there. And you know what? I got to the room. I looked at my mother-in-law. I said, the little old lady in Romania told it to me exactly how it was going to be in the way it came out and the order it was. Church, I'm telling you, if you can get your natural eyes closed, there is a God out there who is working around the scene, who will take care of you when everything else is going wrong. Could you say amen? Amen. Now listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now there is a reason some people can't comprehend what I'm saying to them this morning. This is what it said. It said the gospel is hidden, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine in darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Did you hear what he said? That's in the fourth verse of that fourth chapter. He said the gospel is hid to those who have done what? Allowed the enemy, the god of this world, that's a small g meaning the devil, has actually blinded them from seeing it and got them where they can't hear. And because of that, they're not willing to have faith and believe in God. Amen. Come on, church. And then I got people come to me, and they're right the opposite. They're so spiritual, they think the devil's after them. Can some of y'all get a life? Some of y'all need to understand something. In the scheme of the whole thing, you ain't nothing. Oh, I made somebody mad. I'm spiritual. Well, bless God, as spiritual you are, you still ain't nothing in the scheme of the whole thing. The devil ain't after you. He's after the God that's in you. Some of y'all thought, oh, well, the devil's after me. No, he could care less about you. He wants you to go to hell. He just wants to get the God in you out. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Some of y'all mad about it, but it's the truth. Amen. Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 said. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not despaired. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Cast down, but we are not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ in this life also, Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. You know what it said? It said it's not because of me, but it's because of him that I'm going to make it. I might be pressed, but I'm not despaired. I might be took apart, but I'm not going to fall apart. Why? Because in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being, and by him I am more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Glory. Some of y'all still mad because I said you ain't nothing. Let he that think he stand take heed lest he fall. You know what that means? You think you something, you probably big nothing. Come on, church. In the scheme of things, you ain't nothing but a sack of dirt with some water added. I'm not coming back. He said, I'm nothing. If that messes you up, you were leaving anyway. I'm just preaching the truth. I have people call me, Pastor, you got to pray. The devil's just all over me. He's trying to wear me out. Get hold to God. And the more God arises in you, the less he's going to come at you. So you can't give me scripture for that. Let God arise, and your enemies will be scattered. Come on, church. Amen. That's what it's, oh, come on, that's just good preaching. We have hope for today that in every situation, God will make a way of escape. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in the third verse, for there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will in all temptations make ye a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Did you hear what he said? Amen. He said, God's going to give you a way out. Church, you're never going to be pushed somewhere you can't handle it. Hello? Oh, preacher, you believe that? Listen to what Isaiah says in the 43rd verse. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. What? Shall you know it not? For I will even make a way in the wilderness and a river in the desert. God said, you may not know what's going to happen, but I do. Hallelujah. I'm going to do a new thing if I have to, but I'm going to take care of you. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Listen, we have hope of the future. We have this ministry. We have this treasure in these earthen vessels, but we're doing it because we're trying to build to a God that's going to give us forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, for we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. For this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon the house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For that we are in his tabernacle, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now that he that wrought us a self-same thing is God, who hath given unto us the earnest of his spirit, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. But we are also confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Did you hear what he said? He said, I'm absent from God when I'm in this body, but there's coming a time when I'm going to leave this body and I'm going to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, honey, if I leave this body tomorrow, you're not going to have to worry about this old boy. I'm going to have a great time on the other side. Come on, church. Amen. Or some of y'all live on that preacher, you're dying. Some think I am. I'm going to live just despite y'all. Glory. Hallelujah. Come on, church, smile at me. 1 Peter 1, the 7th verse of 1 Peter, the first chapter. That the trials of your faith being much more precious than the gold of the precious that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory to the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, ye believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Do you hear what he said? Peter said, even though you don't see him, you believe. And even though you don't realize it, you're looking for a place that you haven't seen yet. You ain't heard much about. Listen, church, if I told you everything I knew about heaven, the Bible said I wouldn't be able to tell you half what's going to be there. Glory. But if we can learn to live above sea level. Several years ago, and I'm going to close with this, because I know it's after 12. I was running revival, and I left the church. I wasn't really paying attention to the gas. I was just driving, coming home. I headed down the highway, and all of a sudden, car quit. I looked down and noticed that the E was shining real big on the wrong side of that gas needle. It's a funny thing about cars, they just don't run without gas. Now, I can tell you my first revival, I drove home on no gas. because God knew I was dumb and ignorant, and he needed to help me. Now I'm supposed to be a little bit smarter and intelligent, so he just let me find out the hard way that you got to put gas in the car. Come on, church. See, one time I drove on empty for 200 miles because God was taking care of me. The next time, he figured he done took care of me long enough, it's time for me to understand some things. Come on, church. So he let me run out of gas. I'm sitting on the side of the highway. I'm out of gas. And this was before cell phones. Some of y'all going, oh, my God, he's ancient. It ain't been 10, 12 years ago. Nobody had a cell phone. I remember when we used to argue over who was going to answer the phone. You get it. I ain't answering it. You get it. Phone and ring off the hook. We wouldn't answer it because nobody would go get it. Now phone ring, you'll kill yourself trying to get it out your purse or out that little holster on the side because you're afraid somebody's going to miss a call. Some of y'all get mad because you'll call me and I don't answer the phone. I'll call you back. Sometimes I'm busy and I'm not going to break what I'm doing. One of the rudest things you can do is answer a phone while you're talking to somebody else. And I despise going into a store and have somebody wait on me while they're talking on the phone. I'll stand there and make them mad, but I won't give them a dime until they get off that phone. Hello? Hey, some of y'all right now, that preacher, there got to be some etiquette somewhere. Some of y'all right now is upset because that sign's on that door back there. But you ain't got no business trying to answer a phone in this church when you're supposed to be giving time to God. If it's that important, they call the church and we'll get somebody to come get you. If you won't call, that's a different story. Put it on vibrate and go outside and answer it. Inevitably, a phone will go off in a minute. And somebody, it'll make so much noise trying to get to it because, oh, it might be somebody. It is somebody if it's ringing. I just threw that in. That didn't cost you nothing. I'm sitting there in that car, and I'm aggravated now because I know that it's about 15 miles to the nearest service station that might be open. And I just drove past one thinking I could make it. And lo and behold, it starts raining. And I'm sitting there aggravated because now it's raining. I'm out of gas. I got to walk. This guy pulls up, rolls his window down. He said, hey, you need help? I rolled the window down. I said, yeah, I'm out of gas. He said, well, I'll be praying for you. He took off. Y'all got to understand something. When I evangelized, when I left church going home at night, I wasn't in a suit. I was in my normal Reverend rig, blue jeans, tennis shoes, football jersey, sometimes a hat, backwards, never sideways like an idiot. I just thought I'd throw that in. And I never forget, I got out, start walking, it's raining. I got about a half of a Diet Coke. This was still when you bought them in bottles, it wasn't a plastic thing. And I'm walking down the road and I see I'm thinking, there ain't nobody lives around here. I ain't seen a house yet, but I realized somebody lived there because this dog come out to meet me. Big old German Shepherd. And I was trying to be friendly, but it became apparent he wasn't friendly. So I anointed him with some Coca-Cola. Disclaimer, dog wasn't killed in this act, but he got a knot on his head because I popped him right between the eyes with that Coke bottle. Amen. He was fixing to bite my leg, so don't come to me afterwards saying, oh, you shouldn't have done that. My leg's important to me, especially when I got to walk several miles to get gas. About that time, here come the dude in the pickup truck again. And I'm thinking, oh, he didn't have so much fun the first time. He wants to do it again. He wheels up, and he rolled the window down. And he said, hey, you a preacher? I said, yeah. He said, well, God told me that there's a preacher down here out of gas, and I need to get him, take him to the service station. And I said, well, what'd you drive off for? He said, well, you basically don't look like a preacher. He said, get in. I got in. He carries me down to the service station and helped me get gas. carried me back, got out in the rain and poured the gas in my car and wouldn't even let me pay for it. He said, oh, no, sir. He said, God sent me to take care of you. He said, about 9 o'clock tonight, he said, on my way to work, I was going to run into a preacher who was out of gas, was going to need some help. And he said, this is my opportunity to get blessed. In the church, there I was, upset with God, and he was working the whole time trying to help me. Come on, church. Do y'all comprehend what I'm telling you? 2 weeks ago, I went in the hospital with an ear problem. I was sick as a dog. They started telling me they thought I had a stroke. Then they said, oh, we got to do some other stuff to you. We're going to check you while you're in here. They figure out I got infected sinuses, and that's why my inner ear's messed up. By the next morning, I'm running around, no problems. The neurologist comes in, and he says, well, he hadn't had no stroke. Takes my wife down, showed her the pictures of my brain, so I do have one. Of course, he had to add in she needed to cook from now on because I was too fat. Cardiologist run all kind of tests on me, and I passed all of them but one. The other night, they done that kind of test on Robbie, and the lady comes in. She said, didn't I do a test on you the other week? Boy, that was the worst test I've ever done on anybody. Made me feel good. I've told y'all, I like to be exemplary. If I'm going to do something, I want it off the scale. She, according to her, mine was off the scale. She'd never seen anybody that messed up and alive. They come in, do an arteriogram. I said, what are you getting at, preacher? I had a valve, an artery, main artery, 80-something% blocked on my heart. I was headed toward a heart attack with no pain, no symptoms at all. Yet God let me get sick enough to know this old hard-headed boy wouldn't just go to the doctor for the fun of it. And I go to the hospital. Instead of American Family Care, where they gave me something and sent me home, I go to the emergency room, which is totally against my nature because I hate to pay them. But I went there for whatever reason, and they found something to save my life because I got a God who was working in the background to take care of me because I've learned to see what I can't see with my own eyes and realize out there I've got a God taking care of me. Can I tell you, church, this church has a God taking care of it. If we call on him long enough and we give our hearts to him hard enough, he's going to move for us like we've never seen. And we're going to see God do things we never thought could be done when we learn to see above sea level. Father, I thank you this morning for your love and mercy. God, I believe you to touch this house with your power and your grace. Holy Spirit of God, move on us with your love. Touch us with your fire. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.